Welcome back to Podcast Radio. I'm Andy.
I'm Joe.
And this week we got another listener request.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah, I think actually I got this week and I was like, hey, let's just do it right away. You know, usually we wait a long time for them because we already have stuff we've done. So listener request from Chris, and he suggested like why so many like mountains and peaks and maybe waterfalls and trails and, you know, different areas like in national parks and stuff are named Devils or Diablo or, you know, weird things. You know, why do they name that?
Good question, Chris.
Why is that so popular? So I picked one, and because there were so many, like just off the list that I pulled up, you got Big Devil Stairs, Little Devil Stairs, Big Kill Devil Hill.
That's a lot to say.
Yeah, I know. Bumpus Hell.
Bumpus Hell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Devil Canyon. Devil's Cornfield. That'd be kind of cool, whatever that is. We'll have to look at that one. Devil's Creek Canyon. Devil's Den. That they had one in Big Bend. Then Devil's Den in Gettysburg, and then Devil's Den in Yosemite.
Oh, wow.
Everybody wants one of those. Devil's Dream Camp. That's weird. Devil's Elbow. Devil's Garden in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Devil's Garden in Arches National Park. Devil's Gate. A Devil's Golf Course.
Wow.
Devil likes to play golf. Devil's Hall Trail. Devil's Hole. I don't know about that one. Devil's Island. Ooh, that'd be kind of neat.
Yeah.
I wonder where that one is. Two Devil's Kitchens. No, three. Devil's Lookout, Devil's Orchard, Devil's Playground, Devil's Post Pile, Devil's Stairway, Devil's Throat, Devil's Thumb, Hell, Roaring Creek, and Hell's Gate.
These are all actual places.
Yeah, these are, and they're all in... A majority, all of them are in national parks.
Oh, wow.
So,
Steve always referred to the area we live in as the Devil's Armpit.
There you go. We should.
I've always called it that because it just stinks so much here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean like...
Like the oil air.
Yeah, physically. Like,
but after you're here for so long, then you can't smell it. But
I can.
When people come...
I still smell it.
You still smell it? Yeah, I mean, I don't smell it every day, just sometimes. I'm just like, oh, man.
I smell it all the time.
All the time?
Yes.
You got a good smeller.
Well, look at me.
Okay, so I know. So, like, automatically people are going to think, like, that place, you know, if it's named Devil something, you would think, oh, that's evil, stay away. But, of course, nowadays everybody's, like, looking for that stuff.
Right. I didn't know this was in national parks, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of creepy.
So, the one that I looked at was Devil's Tower in Wyoming. And that's what it looks like. If you haven't ever seen it before, look it up. Devil's Tower in Wyoming. It looks like a giant stump, I guess, right?
Huge, yeah.
So there are hell gates, hell holes, hell half acres. See, there's even more stuff. There are devil's slides, playgrounds, post pile golf courses, and Diablo canyons. We didn't even get into the Diablo stuff. There's probably a million of those.
We didn't even go into the Spanish side of things.
So while Native American nations traditionally don't have a literal devil figure as we know it, there are spiritual names in their landscape. The early invading Spanish left a large legacy of places with Diablo, Inferna, and even the French got into the name with Purgatory. So, you know, purgatory, like the underworld.
Right. Well, so, I'm looking at the devil's hole right now.
Oh, okay.
And that's just...
Oh, just a hole.
Just a hole.
Yeah. So the Devil's Tower National Monument is in northwestern Wyoming. They claim that it's a 30-million-year-old volcano.
Wow.
So the Devil's Tower is truly an unexpected and astounding sight, which is why it graces all Wyoming license plates. So it's 1,200 feet above the Red Rock banks of the Belforche River, and its acre-sized summit is the ultimate altar, long revered as a sacred place by Native Americans, such as the Lakota Sioux. And then everybody has seen it, whether you know it or not. If you've seen the Close Encounters of the Third Kind,
yeah,
it's in that movie.
Oh, okay.
And then you remember he makes the mashed potato pile.
Yeah.
And it's a copy of it.
Right, right. Okay.
So near the base, you might find medicine bundles, tobacco, twigs, and wrapped and torn pieces of colorful bandanas. It's all hanging from the limbs because, like, the Native Americans there still go there and leave things for, you know, the spirits.
Like an offering?
Yeah. So these are sacred offerings of the Lakota, Sioux, Crow, and other tribes. So you can also climb on this sacred site. So there's, like, you know, people mountain climb up it. So,
really?
Yeah, they got rock climbers on it all the time. And then its path is on the way to Sturgis, South Dakota.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
So a lot of Harley riders go right by it, la, 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 you know, heading up there. Then you got other guys climbing up and down it. And then you got the Sioux and all these other tribes that still consider it a sacred site.
Wow.
While we're tromping around it, driving around it, you know. I'm like, that's nice. So Theodore Roosevelt proclaimed it a premier national monument in like 1906. But before the Europeans came on the scene, it was known by many different names by the Arapaho, Crow, Lakota, Cheyenne, Kiowa, and Shoshone. So 20 different tribes have cultural and spiritual connections with the Devil's Tower, but only five of those have actual geographic and historic connections. So the Lakota consider it a place for renewal where they pray to their gods, but not to the tower. So they don't, they're not like worshiping the, this mountain as a god or anything.
Okay.
But it'd be kind of like going to church. Like, yeah, this is where we go to church and worship. That's the way they look at it. Now, the cool thing about it is the Indians didn't, give it a negative name. That was given to it by, like, Europeans that came here.
Really?
So the Kiowa called it, and I'm not even going to try to say the name, but in English it's Aloft on a Rock. The Mandane called it Rock Tree because the tower, it looks very similar to a broken tree stump. And then the Lakota call it Bear's Lodge, and that's like the number one most popular name for it.
So these names are so different.
Yeah, they're different, but kind of the same. I got two of them that I think are kind of the same.
Yeah,
you know, Bear's Lodge, and the Rock Tree. You know, because a bear would lodge in a forest or right, a tree, and then a rock tree, and it looks like one. So, now this is the name of a Native American who lived to be 117 years old. Kills Coming to the Birds. That's his name. Kills Coming to the Birds. So he lived to be 117, and he remembered worshiping at Bear's Lodge as far back as the year the stars fell in 1833. And I'm like, oh, the year the stars fell? What the heck is that? So that's when in Oklahoma they claim... History claims that Osage warriors came in. They slaughtered all the women, all the children, and all the elderly of a tribe while the men were out hunting or fighting or something like that. So I thought the two most interesting names is, I wanted to talk about that, but they got like legend of the Devil's Tower, you know, giant bear.
That's cool.
Clawing the tower, and that's why it has these striations on the side of it if you ever look at it.
That's a cool picture.
Yeah, that's a picture of like this ginormous bear, and then the Indians are on top of the tower, like throwing spears at him and stuff like that. But whatever the name's origins, the name change did not please the Plains Indians. In a 1997 New York Times interview, Eastern Shoshone Diana Mitchell said, "To name it Devil's Tower is a slap in the face because of what the whites used to call Indians back then. They were devils and dirty devils."
Okay.
So tribal members would like to see the name revert back to Bear's Lodge, and they tried to do that. But to counter the Native Americans' push, I mean, it's only their,
right,
their land and their sacred site. To counter it, U.S. Republican Barbara Cuban introduced a bill in January of 97 to keep the name the Devil's Tower. And so she fought back. They kept the name of the Devil's Tower. You know what the name of the county is that it's in?
Oh, tell me.
Crook. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I mean, you steal the land, you might as well steal the names name, and yeah, everything else. And then again, more recently in 2018, Republican Liz Cheney, another Wyoming senator or whatever, introduced another legislation because they tried to change it again back to Bear's Lodge, and they, no, we want to keep it Devil's Tower, you know. And I'm like, why? What's the big deal? You know what I mean? Like, what is the big deal where you really have to keep it this name?
Right. Well, do you think they did that to just lure tourists or something? Because if it's got devil or something, it just sounds cooler.
Maybe. But I'm like, whatever. That's that could be a good reason. But the things that I found interesting was it's called Rock Tree and Bear's Lodge, right? By the Native Americans. So, to me, it looks like a petrified giant tree stump.
Yeah.
Which you can find those all over the internet, you know.
True.
Rock formations that people claim, well, you know, at one time there was giants running around. Mm-hmm. There was giant fauna. There was giant animals. And then the flood happened and all that stuff is gone, you know. Then so it just looks to me like a petrified tree stump.
Right.
And the names would point back to that rock tree, like the Indians understood, hey, this used to be a tree at one time.
Right.
Or Bear's Lodge. Like we said, that's where bears hang out, right? Like mm-hmm. Winnie the Pooh, by the way, is a boy. I looked it up. So.
Really? Yeah. Show me where, because I looked it up and I saw it was a girl again. Oh,
no. So Winnie, the name they got, they named Winnie the Pooh after a girl bear. They did get the name from a girl bear, but Winnie the Pooh is referred to as a he, has a masculine voice.
Well, really?
Well, you know.
Let's debate that.
Well, for the era we're living in now.
I'll give you the other one.
Okay.
I'll
But they do call him a he.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I just don't want to say he has a masculine voice. Okay, go ahead.
So, anyways, back to the trees. I think the names for a lot of these native sites were purposeful when they were rewriting history. Like, let's just, I mean, it points to something like, whoa, hey, this is a giant tree at one time. How come they got so big, you know? And so if that points to something else other than, you know, evolution and all this other bullshit, then they're gonna, of course, all these sites that would point to something different, name it something the complete opposite, you know, Devil's Lair, you know, and stuff like that.
Right.
So I don't know what you think about that, but with this,
anything happen? Were you able to look at anything weird happening there, unexplained or?
No, as far as like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, devil's something. Okay, a lot of people died here or
yeah,
it's cursed or people go there and ghost. I didn't find any ghost hunting or anything like that, anything weird like that. And there's still like the Indians said, why would we go somewhere that we think is evil? And we named it after a devil.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't worship there.
Maybe somebody should sponsor our trip and we'll go hunt every one of these places.
But I mean, it's not, what do you mean hunt? It's not
ghost hunt then.
But like, there's no ghosts there.
I bet there is.
Maybe.
They're everywhere.
Well, anyways, have you ever read George Orwell's 1984?
No.
Okay, so I read it one time, but the main point of it is if you want to control a population, you first have to control history.
True.
Good so point. I was looking up one of my books. Have you ever read about the expositions like the World's Fairs when they started rewriting history for the masses?
Oh, no.
Okay, so they had some interesting things with like the Native Americans and how they treated them and when they had these expos. So they would get, you would go to these expos and be like, oh, look, you can see what it was really like in Greece. And people dress up and pretend to be from Greece and okay. tell you how to do stuff. Egyptians, the same thing. And they did that with the Native Americans. But mm-hmm. at this time, they were conquered, like Sitting Bull and Geronimo. They were in prisons. But they would take them out of the prison and have them come to these fairs, these world fairs, like in Chicago and stuff, and put on a show for the people.
Oh, that's crazy.
So,
like forcefully or willingly?
Yeah, forcefully.
Okay.
So the idea was that the 500 members of 35 different tribes, including the Apache Chief Geronimo, who was being held prisoner at Fort Sill, were to have open lectures. So initially they were going to have them tell about how they lived, just like all the others, have lectures and discussions that would be attended. This was to present the daily life, beliefs, and history of as many tribes as possible. But, however, once the exposition began, it was clear to the organizers that the white fairgoers were not interested in hearing what the Indians might say, and instead just wanted to see dances, games, and ceremonies. Soon, promoters were influenced by the improved order of Redmond, who called to have the Congress stop completely and instead show off battles between whites and Indians where the whites would always win. It underscored the message that the natives were a race on their way to extinction and thus needed to submit to white rule. So they put on these shows for the people that came, and it wasn't even like accurate battles or anything like that. They were just putting on a show. And according to this historian, he said, that's where we get a lot of our ideas for like Western movies and stuff.
Well, I was going to say, if they were forced to give these stories, how many of them were true?
Well, no.
A script.
They started to do their story like, hey, this is how we lived and this is how we weave stuff. And, we lived off the land. And they were like, no, we don't want to hear about any of that. Do a show for us. Dance around. So they didn't even get to explain themselves at all. And then another interesting quote from his book, and this is a historian. He said, the Buffalo Expedition is page 94. The racism did not stop there. So the battles were set up to be like a 1950s Western movie where we get a lot of our ideas for that stuff. But a Margaret Krigerton wrote in her book, she was there at the fair at that time. This is crazy. The most shocking event in the fair was a public slaughter of 700 dogs, many taken from animal shelters or snatched off streets. It was held over 2 days in front of 20,000 spectators. The Indian Congress, made up of several tribes, carried out the executions with Geronimo on loan from an Oklahoma prison, killing the first dog with a bow and arrow. And then after that, they would kill the dogs, shoot them with arrows, kill them. Then they would eat them, dress them, and cook them in this arena.
When did this happen?
This was during one of the World's Fairs. So like, between the years 1851 and 1915 is when all these world fairs occurred.
That's crazy.
And it's a lot of the first one of the, well, the last reset that we had.
Yeah.
Where they, we had all these, what's another interesting subject? We had all these insane asylums, right. All over the place, these giant buildings, like all of a sudden everybody went crazy.
Mm-hmm. Then where did they go now? Where do these people go now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they had all these orphan trains. All of a sudden, there's kids without parents. Where did they all come from? You know, and they say a potato famine and stuff like that. But Howdy McCosey, He's a historian. He studied the World's Fairs, and he wrote a whole book on it, exposing the expositions. But I just say all that because I'm like, if that's how they treated them back then, they ain't gonna treat them any different now, you know,
right,
with exactly. their sacred sites. And, you know, so another thing, you know, I was expecting to find, oh, okay, this is Devil's, what is it? What does it call it? Devil's Canyon or whatever it was. And I'm like, Devil's Mountain, whatever they called it in Wyoming. And I'm like expecting to find some like spooky story.
Like me?
Yeah.
Like I just said, hey, we should. Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, Bermuda Triangle, you know, fake.
That's an interesting angle to approach it because the names given were just to make them more appealing.
Yeah. And to also point away from what it really is, right. in my opinion.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Deflect.
Yeah. Deflect that there was used to be giant fauna everywhere, you know, which right. they say never. That's only in the redwoods. So, anyways, so that's a cool story. We'll have to hit up some more of those freaking Devils, Diablos, you know, all the other ones. There's got to be some where some crazy stuff happens.
Yeah.
Or are we going to find out every single one of them? It's just, yeah, you know, no big deal.
That'd be interesting.
So, if you guys have any cool stories or things you want us to check out, send it to podcast13@gmail.com. Like, subscribe, and continue to share wherever you listen. Till next time.